In the book of Luke chapter 1, all throughout this month, and I think really one of my goals this month of December is to stir up in each of you a desire to know more about the Christmas story and the true message of Christmas. We have, you know, we know and hear the Christmas story every year, but the wonderful thing about God's Word is that it's inexhaustible. There's always more to hear, more to receive, more to learn, and I hope that you will open your heart up to a theme this month that we're going to look at different characters in the story of the Christmas story, and I trust that you are blessed and that you are stirred in your interest to know more. So much goes on during the Christmas season, but it can really be a time of spiritual revival, time of really your faith being strengthened and encouraged in the things of the Lord. And I pray that that happens this month. We're talking this month about the faces of Christmas, and we're going to talk today about Mary, the face of faith. Mary, the face of faith. And this is Luke chapter 1. If you want to follow along with me, and I'm going to read in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Luke 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For the Lord hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he is mighty, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. We'll stop right there. Talking about Mary. Mary, and the extreme faith that Mary demonstrated. Incredible faith this young woman has. Now, we are not Catholic, and if you are, I don't really want to offend you, but I just have to say a couple of things about Mary. Mary was just a handmaiden of the Lord. She was described here as a woman of low estate. So she no doubt had no real significance in society. She was just a normal, average, little Jewish maiden. That's all she was. She had, and the only things about Mary, if we are thinking biblically about Mary, that we can realize about her is that she had a visitor from heaven, the angel Gabriel. Not only did she have a visitor, but she was highly favored of God. God favored her. And the scripture says that the Lord was with her, so the presence of God was with her. And she was blessed. All the generations that were going to follow her were going to call her blessed. So the highest level of adoration that we really should offer to Mary is just to say, my, she was blessed of the Lord. She was amazingly blessed of the Lord. So we don't pray to Mary. We don't worship Mary. We don't look to her. We look to her son, Jesus Christ. He's the one we pray to. He's the one, and the whole emphasis of even her message, which is referred to as the Magnificat, the whole emphasis of that is as how great he is, how wonderful that he is, and how that she's just a person of low estate, but God found in her a person that he could use. And really, faith that is realized in the life of Mary is just, it had to be incredible, the faith that she had in God. Let me just mention a few things here this morning. First of all, faith, you need faith to trust God for that he has the best laid plan for you. And because we all tend to lay down the plans for our lives. And I don't think it's a bad thing to make plans, but in reality, as Christians, we always keep in mind that we may have a plan, but it's always that plan can easily be set aside, because what we really want to see take place in our life is the plan of God. And we can't always know how the things are going to come to pass. We've had that very vivid reminder right here in our own congregation this week. That just someone can be in our service 1 week and the next week they are gone. We had the experience during the Share-a-thon at the radio station with Jewel Williams on Tuesday. She's on the air with us on the radio during the Share-a-thon, talking, full of life, seemed all very healthy. 2 days later, she's gone. So we know that our lives are, and even the plans that we have for our lives, as well laid and thought out as they might be, if you're a person of faith, then you trust that God's plan is the best plan. Amen. Faith means I trust that God's plan is better than anything that I could ever come up with. He has a better plan, and I trust him. Just think about Mary, this little Jewish maiden. The Bible says she was a young maiden who was espoused to Joseph, and most believe that he was a little older than her. She was probably a teen, a youth, very, very young, espoused to Joseph to be married. It looked like the plans were all well laid out for her. No doubt this was an arranged marriage by parents, as most of the Jewish weddings were, just planned and laid out by the parents. And she no doubt accepted that as the plan of God for her, and that her life was on track to be whatever that was planned out for her. Not the case. Amen. As Christians, we're always reminded of the fact that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Your best plans are not as good as the plan that God has for you. And in the scripture, when people would get ahead of God's plan and step out and begin to do what they thought was the best or they thought was right, It was a big mess every time. Always a problem that resulted. And so Mary had tremendous faith because she trusted that God's plan was better than her plan. Amen. Little children, whenever they play, most of the time when they play, they're doing role playing. They begin to embody some person they admire, or they act out. I remember we did that when we were boys. I was raised up with boys, and it was always cowboys and Indians or army or, you know, police or something, you know, something so we could kind of get dirty and rough one another up. And that's what boys do, or well, most boys do anyway. With their most playing is role playing. You're living out your life as a child. It's just innate in you. God put it in you as a little child to want to become something. And so you begin to look, what will I be? Who will I be? Who will I marry? And how's my life going to unfold? And so it's not a bad thing to make plans. It's not wrong to make plans. I think it's just a part of how God has created us. But on the other hand, we need to be reminded that God's plan many times interrupts our plans. And our plan just gets set aside, and God just moves into the situation, just like on this particular day that Mary had, no doubt, maybe just a normal, ordinary day, but suddenly she doesn't know that this day is going to be extraordinary, the most significant day of her life. A heavenly visitor, Gabriel, an archangel, appears to her. She hears the voice of the Lord. Can you imagine the fear and the awe and all that's going on in the mind of this young maiden? And God is speaking to her, not about her plan, but about His plan. Now that He wants to interrupt her life and her plan and do something in her great and mighty. I think a part of the Christmas message is just that understanding that Jesus came into this world to save sinners and to change the whole course and the direction of our life. He came to give us hope. He came to give us answers and to give us a sense of purpose for our life to do what we should do. I remember when this was around the Christmas season and we were living in Oklahoma. The Parkers were living in West Plains, Missouri. We had all been at the Huffs for Christmas and we were starting back to Oklahoma. We were following the Parkers. The plan was we were going to drive as far as West Plains, stay with them, and then the next day travel on to Oklahoma. So we were on our journey, and it got very bad weather. The temperatures dropped, snow and ice, and we were going through the hills of Missouri, and so we were slowed down. It took forever. We were freezing. It was just it was a terrible long trip, and we got in there very late, much, much later than we thought. And when we got to their house, something had happened that the heat had been turned down or went off or something. And so when we walked into their house, it was also just as cold inside as it was outside. And Joseph Parker was like 2 or 3 years old, a little bitty guy. And he was so upset by the fact that it was cold in the house that he said, "This is not the way I wanted it to be." He was 3 years old. This is not. So all down through the years, anytime something has happened in our family that we thought, we wish it wouldn't be this way, we would quote the immortal Joe Parker when he was 3 years old and say, "This is not the way we wanted it to be." And I can't tell you of the times in my life I thought I had a well-laid plan. I thought things were working out great and everything was just going to fall in place. It did not. It did not at all fulfill my desires and my ambitions and my plans would be destroyed. And it wasn't falling in place like I wanted it to. But faith trusts that God's plan is the best plan. Amen. And, you say, well, she must have just been extraordinary. She was. But you'll notice in the text here that there are just a couple of things. First, it says she was troubled. She was troubled. And and that just means that she was alarmed or disturbed. Who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be? I mean, you've just had an angelic visitor who has given you a message that's incredible. Who, what young lady would not have been troubled in her mind and in her heart? And the Bible says she was troubled at what happened, what was spoken to her. And not only that, but it says that she had some questions. The question that she asked was, how shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. I've never been married. I've never been with a man. How is it possible that all these things could come to pass? And the voice of the Lord answers her questions. It's just like gently answering her questions. And it's as if Mary just simply says, okay, Lord. Okay. I believe you. I believe your word. I believe what you're saying. I believe it. And verse 38, she just says, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. She just trusts the Lord entirely, completely, with this incredible thing that's happened to her that's beyond anything that you could ever imagine. Let me tell you, God has a plan for your life and for your future. And if you're a person of faith, if you really believe God and believe his word, then God has things that he will do. If you will just put your complete trust in the Lord, and his plan will be a lot better than yours. Amen. Lay aside our plans and our ideas and trust that God is going to speak and give you his will for your life. Second thing about Mary's faith was faith always believes without seeing. The world says you have to see before you can believe. I have to see it or I'm not going to believe it. That's the worldly philosophy. But for the believer, the Christian, it's not that way at all. He believes without seeing. And that's what Mary did. She believed the report. She believed the word of the Lord. And a person of faith is a person who believes even before he sees. Sometimes a long time before he sees. And this is absolute total trust in God, believing that God loves you and that God's plan for your life and your future is his perfect will for you. And as you just put yourself in his hands and tell him, Lord, you just do with me what you want to do. You bless me and you work in my life and you give me patience and you give me confidence to wait on you and to see you work in my life. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. You believe, and then you see. Amen. You just believe the word of the Lord. Now, sometimes it's not an easy thing because we kind of get caught up in the emotion of some spiritual experience. And I've had this a number of times where maybe in a prayer time or in a church service, I would feel inspired about some particular thing that the Lord wanted me to do. But when I walked away from that experience and the emotional high of that was gone, then I wasn't seeing it coming to pass. It's a lot more difficult to take the steps of faith and begin to act upon what the Word of God says. But that's exactly what Christians are called upon to do. And that's what Mary did. She believed, not seeing any of these things coming to pass, not knowing how that it could really all happen to her. But she just trusted in the Lord. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't see. We pray about things. We don't see them. We hear from God. We lay hold of the promises of his word. And we don't see these things coming to pass. But we know that God is not a liar and that he's spoken through his word. And we hold on to them. And faith is willing to believe until we see. And just keep on believing until we see. Amen. In my heart, and I believe it's from the Lord. In my heart, I have believed for a long time, for many years, that the Lord wants to send a remarkable revival to you and I and to this community. It's not just a hope-so thing. It's not just, I wish this would happen. In my heart, in my spirit, I really believe it. I believe that's what the Lord has spoken, that he wants to pour out his spirit in wonderful and mighty ways among us. Now, we see a little bit of it from time to time, but I haven't seen it, but I've laid hold on the promise of God. Amen. And I believe that the Lord will do what he has promised that he will do. Many of the great heroes of faith in the scripture, that's exactly what they did. Noah, by faith, being warned of God and of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Never had there been a rainstorm or a flood that Noah knew was coming. And no one else could understand what he was doing, but he was acting in faith. He did not see it, and there was no real evidence of it. He was just acting upon the word of God. And no doubt the person of faith who acts on the word of God is a person who's going to be ridiculed and misunderstood. But you just believe his word and you act and live by faith, acting upon his word. And one day those things will be fulfilled, just as it was in the case of Noah. Same thing was true of Abraham. Hebrews 11 and verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. He did not know what to expect. He just knew that God had spoken to him, time to leave. And he acted in faith to go. And eventually, it was a process of time and even years that went by before the reality of that promise was fulfilled. Same thing with Moses. Hebrews 11 and verse 27, by faith Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses had such an insight and a vision to the plan of God and what God was going to do. And so he acted as if he was seeing him that was invisible and in full confidence in what God had spoken to him to do. Faith believes without seeing. Mary believed without seeing. And all of us as Christians, we move up in our walk with the Lord and we accomplish things for God, not because we see a well-laid plan, but because we believe his word and we act in faith upon that, whether you see it or not. You see the how or the process by which it's going to take place. If you hear from God, you will act in faith, believing before you see. Amen. Praise God. Another thing about Mary's faith is this amazing contentment that was in her life. There was this peace that was in her life, and everything around her was everything but peace. Just think about it. Mary now is in a socially unacceptable situation. Under no doubt accusation, ridicule, and so she's faced with that, and then she also has to deal with a husband that she has to explain all of this. This is espoused husband Joseph, that she has to explain. Of course, the Lord helped her out with that, with another angelic appearance to Joseph. But how about the fact that in the latter weeks of before the child is born, that the demand of everyone going to their own home country for the taxation, and she travels the rough terrain going through all of that in these last days of her time of expectancy, travels all of that distance. When she gets there, there's not a comfortable place for her. Can you imagine what's going on in her mind? But the angel of the Lord said this was to be the Son of the Highest. This was the Son of the Living God. His name was Jesus. And he was going to save the world from their sins. All these things are in her mind as to all this that's happening. No room for her in the end. The baby born in a humble stable. All the things that happen, they're all of the events that we know so familiar about around the Christmas story. But there's a verse that describes Mary how that she kept all of these things in her heart and pondered them. She kept all these things in her heart and pondered them. One version of that, which I'm not sure which version it was, it says that Mary just treasured up all these things, pondering them. It was like all these events that are taking place around her. She wasn't upset about it. She wasn't in turmoil about all that was going on. She was just at peace. She treasured up all these events because she fully trusted that God was working out his plan. She was in peace. Praise God. You know, faith is contented no matter what the circumstances are. That was Mary. She treasured up all these things in her heart. She was totally at peace with the plan of God that was unveiling all around her, even the adverse circumstances that she was in, and even in the birth of the child in the place of obscurity and humility. She watched it all. She observed it all. She treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them. She just it was her thought, her meditation, and describing that Mary was in complete peace in the situation that she was in. She was at ease. She was in peace. Amen. Do you know very many contented people? Well, I don't know. I don't think there are very many people that are real contented. A lot of people, you know, they're dissatisfied with some areas of their life. But all the things that are going on in Mary's young life, and she is just able to just say, look at all this God's doing. Treasure it all up, and was just at peace with the plan of God that was coming her way. You see, the answer is found in the New Testament. It's godliness with contentment. There's no contentment that godliness has to be the source of that. And that's a word that describes not just a state of being or something that you've achieved, but godliness is an attitude of heart that is wanting to be like the Lord and wanting to know the Lord and understand him and his plans and his workings in your life. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. Are you contented? Are you satisfied? Are you at peace with the purpose and the plan of God? I want to encourage you here this morning, put yourself, your life, into his hands. And allow your plan to be interrupted. Make yourself available to God and act in faith. And let God begin the work in your life. And that's really the pathway of contentment. You can be satisfied wherever you are with as little as you may have. You can be completely contented if you are in the will of God. Amen. If you're in God's will and if you're fulfilling the plan of God, that's the place that we all need to aspire to be. And it requires faith for a person to live that kind of a contented life. Amen. Someone said that content makes poor men rich. Discontent makes rich men poor. It's true. It's true. That as little as you may have, you can experience the joy. And I hear people talking about, you know, 60, 70, 80 years ago, and people say things like, well, all we got for Christmas was an apple, or all we got for Christmas was an orange. And when we got it, we thought we were getting something big and wonderful. And we were happy to get it. You give a kid an orange today, and he's going to look at you like, what? What is this? It really describes an age that we're in right now that contentment is very far away from us, very far. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 11, he says, I have learned. So there's a process that you have to go through, an education you have to go through. He said, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. It's an education. It's a learning process. Through the years of your life, your values change and you examine your life and the things that you used to think were important. And when you come into the kingdom of God, into the knowledge of the Lord, you learn the lesson that there are things that are really valuable that the world doesn't know anything about. And the things that they esteem as wonderful and to be so desired as a believer, it doesn't mean that much to you. You're not really all that interested in it. Because you have learned contentment in the Lord, to know Him, to walk with Him. That describes this little maiden, Mary, full of faith. So full of faith that even with all these things that are going on in her life, just a peace and treasuring up all these events and just looking at the plan of God and how it's all unfolding, and she's just there in peace, at ease, happy, contented, because that's where faith leads us, everyone. Praise God. So it's a lesson to be learned, to be content in your life with the things that God blesses you with, and to be grateful for all of them. Are you a person that's content? Honestly, are you contented, or are you always thinking of some new thing or something else that you could add to improve your life? Are you willing just to say, I've got so much, I am so blessed, and to be contented with the things that you have? The only way you can do that is through a relationship with God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this truth from your word, and how that you've spoken to us again through this Christmas story, the life of Mary. What amazing faith that she had. And Lord, I just pray that those in this meeting today struggling in their life with the plan of God, wondering why, Lord, that you aren't moving when we thought you would, or why things are not falling in place as we expected that they would. Well, Lord, help us to trust you, to know, Lord, that the very best plans that we could ever make are nothing to compare with your plan, your purpose being lived out in our life. And help us, Lord, just to yield ourselves to the things that you have planned for our life. And help us to act in faith, even though we don't see it, but to believe your word and to stand upon the word of the Lord and to find contentment in this relationship with you. That you own it all. You're in charge of it all. And you can order our lives and direct our steps. Help us to be a people of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.